Okay, good evening. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua is the sixth book of your Old Testament. And you know that God made man on day number six, sixth day. And Joshua is the sixth book of your Old Testament. J-O-S-H-U-A, six letters. And is the first book in your Bible named after a man. That's all probably just coincidental. I don't believe it is. God put this book together in such a way that it's just mind-blowing. So let's take a look at, we're going to read the whole chapter. And, we'll just read the whole chapter and go from there. We'll just do that. We'll pray after we read and see what the Lord wants to do with where we are tonight. So Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Verse 5, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Verse 10. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. That's a miraculous chapter. Now, do you have the same God of Joshua? Does he still perform miracles? Yes, he does. And I'm going to get to going here. So let's pray before we really dive in here tonight, all right? Lord, thank you for these words that record true historical fact. And I thank you that we see just a miracle performed here, and knowing that you want to do great things in our life as well. And God, I just pray that tonight we just be really inspired to know that you are capable of doing things that obviously we cannot, and things far beyond what anybody on this earth could ever dream of, you can do. And Lord, we want to pray that all of us be involved in your work so that we can be witnesses of your great work and power among us, in us, through us. And I just pray that we benefit from the preaching of your word tonight. And pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so here's where we are. We're in the sixth book of the Bible. And after the first five books of the Bible, the great leader of Israel, Moses, he dies, right? At the end of chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. So who takes over? a man named Joshua. And the great thing about Joshua, I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. The great thing about Joshua is you can make a case for Joshua being better than Moses. What do you think of that? Moses was a great leader. I'm not saying he wasn't. But Moses failed, remember? And his failure, when he was supposed to speak to the rock, he hit it instead. And that failure kept him out of the promised land. So the man that actually takes them into the promised land, Joshua, did something that Moses could not do, right? Okay, great picture here. I know you've probably heard this from me many times, but this excites me. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Folks, the law can't save you. And Moses is a great man. He could not do the work of taking those Israelites in the promised land. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ did what the law could not do. Save me and you. Give us eternal life. Joshua, you're going to see a great picture here as we go through tonight, is an Old Testament picture of, guess who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go through here, we'll see some of that. I mentioned this in our Sunday school this morning. When you read the Bible, you get a historical application. What we just read really happened, right? True history book right here. You can't trust the history books of today. They've changed them. They have an agenda behind them. God records it as it really happened. All right? You also get a doctrinal application whenever you read the Bible. And Joshua being a picture of Jesus Christ goes a lot along with that. And I'll put some of that in tonight as well. And then, Lord willing, we'll get some good practical application tonight. Things that we can put in our pockets for tonight and tomorrow morning and the rest of the week that will help us draw near to Jesus Christ and be the servants that He wants us to be. So let's take a look here. Verse 1. I'll point out some things to you, not in every single verse, but as we go along here. So verse 1, verses 1 through 8, first point here is preparing. And if you were following along reading, there's a great miracle here that takes place, but it's not until later in the chapter. So the first 8 verses is preparation. And notice how verse 1 begins. Those first 7 words are really, really, you get some good practical application from those first 7 words. Look at them. And Joshua rose when? Early in the morning. Now, we've got a crowd here with, it's mixed with younger folks and older folks, but I know the older generation, and I know this because my dad's in his 70s now, and people of that generation and beyond, all of them got up early in the morning. And then the people my age and younger got in the habit of sleeping until 9, 10 o'clock. My dad pulled the trick on me when I would try to sleep in on Saturday morning. He would get the, I was supposed to mow the lawn, so he'd get the lawnmower going. And it doesn't matter, we lived in several different houses as I grew up, but wherever my room was, he would start there. I think he did. Because the noise of the lawnmower would be going, and I would wake up and say, I got to get myself out there and mow the grass. And he was waiting for me to take over when I got out there. My dad, for years, has risen between 4:30 and 5:30, I mean every single day. And if you catch him in between the hours of 4:30 and 5:30, somewhere in there, he's going to spend some quality time right here in this book. And I was a witness of that growing up, and that was a great thing I got to witness. Seeing him, you know, I'd be getting ready for school or something, and I'd go in there, and there he is sitting in a chair reading the Bible. That was a great testimony. I'm so glad I got to see that growing up. And I got to see a man like Joshua that got up early in the morning and prepared his heart for the day by hearing from God. And I think a lot of folks get up in the morning, like I said, people in their 60s and 70s and beyond, they get up in the morning saved or not, but what are they doing in the morning? And even Christian people, what are you doing if you get up early in the morning? Okay, that's great, you got an early start. And the great thing I've learned as I've gotten older about being up in the morning is it's about the only time you get alone all day. I get up before my wife, and nothing about, you know, she doesn't distract me necessarily, but the lights come on, there's noises, and you got some peace and quiet if you beat everybody else up in the morning, and it's just you and God. And notice where Joshua begins before all the miracles take place. What's he doing? He's getting up early, and he's getting his instructions, his marching orders from God. That's a great thing right there. Good practical lesson there. By the way, I'll show you a couple things here. Go over chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6. This is a trend with Joshua. This is not a one-time thing. Joshua was, he had a habit of this. Go to chapter 6, look at verse 12. And Joshua rose, when? Early in the morning. That's the day that they began the marches around Jericho. Got up early, get with the Lord, then go about the work. That was a big day in the history of Israel too. Go to chapter, actually just a few verses later, look at verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they, so it wasn't just Joshua, he's the leader, the rest of the nation does as he does. They rose early. Okay, what is early? What does it mean to get up early? The Bible tells you. What time is it? About the dawning of the day. So early in the Bible is getting up when the sun comes up, right? Or any time before that would be even earlier, all right? Go to chapter 7. Go to chapter 7. Look at verse 16. This is a common everyday thing for Joshua. So Joshua rose up, there it is again, early in the morning. And this is the account of Achan and having to take care of that sin, that hidden sin that came to light. And he said, apparently Joshua said, I got to deal with this first thing. God's business deserves number one priority, right? Matthew 6:33, seek ye, come on, first, the coffee in the morning. The kingdom of God and His righteousness, all right? Go over to the New Testament. I'll show you a real neat one here. Joshua 8:10 has another one if you're interested. Go to the New Testament. Go to Mark chapter 1. This is a really neat one. Seeking God early. Mark chapter 1. This is Jesus Christ. Joshua got up early in the morning. I told you that Joshua is a great picture of Jesus Christ. Well, take a look at why. Mark 1:35. And if you look at all that Jesus Christ in that first chapter of Mark is just going from one place to another, healing, casting out devils. He's busy about His Father's work. So apparently in 34 there, that day came to an end. He'd been busy that day. And look at verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. What's He doing? He went out, departed into a solitary place. What's He doing? And there prayed. Folks, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, what did He do every morning? He prepared His heart to follow and go about His Father's business. Now, if He needed to do that, boy, we need to do that, right? He's the example of that, obviously. Okay, back to Joshua here. I'll give you another reference, Proverbs 8:17. You can write that down. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. It's good stuff. George Mueller, you folks know who he is. He's a great Christian man of the past. He had read the Bible through for the 100th time. I wonder how many people in a lifetime have read through the Bible 100 times. That means if you only do it once a year, you got to live to be 100. And you have to start when you're born. So this just means that George Mueller read through the Bible more than once a year. I think that's a good thing. And I know you can go a little too fast through the Bible and times you ought to digest. I know the way I've done it is some years I've gone through 3-4 times, other years just once. And I think it's good to do a little bit of both. Maybe one year you go through it real slow, but get through it, and then maybe the next year you get a little faster throwing it. I'm telling you, you get all kinds of things the more you go through the Bible. God gives you more truth. You understand when you read the Bible, faith cometh by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. So, you know what? Every time you open the Bible and you read it, what are you exercising? Your faith in what God said. And the more you read, the more your faith increases. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? Anybody who's short on faith, check your time in the last week in the Word of God and get back in it. I'm telling you, put it to the test. Your faith in God will increase the more you read His Word. I mean, we just read a great miracle that God performed. When I read about that, and then I read about Moses, and I read about Caleb, man, he's an awesome one to read about, and I read about David and Samuel. Okay, I understand that the God that they serve is the same God I serve, and God did great things with them and through them and for them, and He wants to do the same thing with, through, and for me and you. That's encouraging when you start to read that over and over and over, and you see who God really is and the miracles that He worked all through history, all right? Let me finish up on Mueller here, and I'll get to the next place here. Mueller. Here's what Mueller said. I look upon it as a lost day. when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. So it's a day that might as well not even have lived. Lost if you didn't get in the Bible. For more than half a century, I have never known one day when I had not more business than I could get through. Anybody like that? I'm sure most of you here in the room are. For 4 years, I have had annually about 30,000 letters, and most of those have passed through my own hands. Then, as pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I have had charge of five immense orphanages. Also, at my publishing depot, the printing and circulating of millions of tracts, books, and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. The blessing I have received has been wonderful. And if you know anything about Mueller, literally millions of dollars came through his hands for the orphanages that he ran. He prayed it in. He didn't have to be short on money to pay a bill. He'd pray for the money for the bill, and God would send the money. Miraculous. Get a book about Mueller. You'll be blown away. See, even people in the last couple hundred years have seen miracles. You may not see the Red Sea part or the Jordan River part, but you can see miracles. See, we think that a miracle is God doing something for us that we want, right? Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. See, we don't count the spiritual blessings. We count whenever he answers physical things. Does it count when he answers spiritual blessings? Does it count whenever you pray for somebody to get saved like we've done here? Got a list going. And somebody got saved. Do you count that as a blessing? Is there a bigger spiritual blessing? Was that a miracle? Anytime somebody gets saved, it's a miracle, right? See, don't just count on all this physical stuff. God has spiritual blessings in store for you, particularly during this church age. You're going to see a lot more spiritual blessings, very likely, than physical. And God can do both, don't get me wrong, all right? Go back there to Joshua chapter 1, and let's keep going here on this next verse. If we don't get through the chapter, oh well, that's all right. We'll see what we can get through. Chapter 3, verse 2. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Let that one sink in there for a minute. Let's talk about these verses. There's a lot right there. Folks, what was it that was supposed to go ahead of the entire camp of Israel? Help me out, come on. The Ark of the Covenant. We don't have time to go there, but if you want to read a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant, Exodus 25 is one place. Talks about how it's made. It was wood overlaid with gold. Wood and gold. Great picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is he a man? Is he God? That wood, man, that God, gold, right? Deity. Neat stuff. Okay, so that Ark of the Covenant, if you remember, they placed that Ark in the tabernacle and then later on the temple. And who knows what the Ark of the Covenant represented? In your Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was the very dwelling place of God, right? Now think about what he just told them right here. These officers go through and they tell the Israelites, they say, the Ark will go ahead of everybody. So what's that got to do with you and me? The Lord Jesus Christ goes ahead. Anytime he asks you to do anything, he's out in front. Now there was a day in our country where the presidents actually led the military into battle. None of us have been alive since then, really, but there was a day when that happened. The presidents were the generals of, they're still the commander-in-chief, but I mean, they led the army in battle. Our commander, our captain, you know what he does? He goes in front. So he'll never ask you to go anywhere that he has not already led the way and paved the way for you ahead, right? A great little lesson right there. Preparing to seek God and then seeking God based on Him going out ahead and us following right behind, correct? Now you get something really neat here as we go along. Look at verse 4. Oh boy. Now you got to think a little bit on this one. Look at verse 4. I might be stretching this one a little bit, but this is neat. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. Okay, so first off, what is the it in the verse 4? The Ark of the Covenant. Okay, so what's the measure? 2,000 cubits ahead is the ark. So you understand, making this application to us, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a step ahead. He's way out there leading the way. Okay, so now stick with me here. It says, there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Folks, you know where God wants you to go oftentimes? I'm just talking about Christian living right here. I'm not talking about relocating necessarily, but just Christian living. You know what God wants you to do a lot of times? Things, do things, go places. Never been before. Because you know what happens when you do that? You're not comfortable. And when you're not comfortable, you realize that either you're going to have to do something on your own that's going to be difficult, or the better choice would be, trust God. If He's asking you to do something and step out on faith, then He's ahead of you, and you can trust that He's leading the way, and He's leading the right way, correct? Alright, so notice something about that 2,000 cubits. Now go to Matthew 28, keep your finger here. And I want you to look at this because you probably know the verse, but let's look at it. And I want you to think here. I've got your thinking cap on here tonight. When you read the Bible and study the Bible, you have to think. God gave you a brain so you could. Now look at this. This is the last, we call this the Great Commission. These are the last words of Jesus Christ in Gospel of Matthew. And look what He says here. And He's commanded the disciples here. Verse 19, He says, go ye therefore, Matthew 28, 19, that's where we are. 28, 19, sorry about that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now watch this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay, so that's a great verse. Whenever you go about the Lord's work, Jesus Christ goes with you, right? And we just saw there in Joshua, He's not just with you. In this case, where is He? He's ahead leading the charge, correct? Now, that was spoken by Jesus Christ. The date I have here in my Bible is about 30 A.D., right? Well, how far down the road are we from 30 A.D.? Almost 2,000 years, right? And if you remember over there in the book of Revelation, there's a man named John, the apostle, who the Spirit takes him up way out into the future. And if that was in, say, 90 A.D., when John was taken up, probably 85, 90 A.D., right around there, He took him into the future beyond where we are right now. Which means it was a little over 1,900 years ago, give or take, right? 2,000 cubits? You think there might be something to that 2,000 years? Folks, that ark was 2,000 years ahead. And I believe that here we are in the year 2018, almost 2,000 years from the time that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. I just wonder if there's something to that. In that time frame. I might be way off the wall here. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter. And I'll tell you why it doesn't matter. The calendars probably are all messed up. And no matter how you slice it, we got to be real close. We got to be real, real close. And here we happen to just be in the year 2018. So it's almost been 2,000 years. Isn't that wild? Now, when He took John up into the future, from where John was, it was almost 2,000 years. So in 28:20, when we read that verse right there, and Jesus Christ says, "Lo, I'm with you always," He was already here before we were here. He's already been here. Read Revelation. Where is He? What's He telling you about if you read the book of Revelation? Beyond today, right? I mean, at least if the rapture happened right now, it's over 1,000 years, because you've got to count the tribulation too. It's over 1,000 years beyond today. See, He's way out there. And only Jesus Christ can do this. Because He's eternal, He can be way out there and be right here at the same time. And if you haven't noticed, we were talking about this before church, Hollywood has ripped this whole idea off about this whole time travel thing. You know where they got it from? Whether they know it or not, they didn't go to the Bible looking for it, but they had to rip off a plot from the Bible to get a movie. Because in the Bible, John the Apostle is taken into the future and said, "Write." We've got the book of Revelation where he writes about what's in the future. God showed him, And then poor old John had to get dropped right back where he was and then live out the rest of his days, poor guy, after he saw all that. Thank you, John, for writing it down. Thank you, Lord, for having John write it down and showing us what's out there. Look, Christians ought to be, Bible-believing Christians ought to be the most excited people because we know what's coming. And there should be no fear because you're safe if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You got nothing to worry about. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a lot to worry about. So get to know Him tonight. Right? All right, so go back there to Joshua. See, all kinds of stuff. This is a historical account, all kind of neat stuff here for you and me here today. All right, go down there to verse 5, and I'll just make a quick comment on this. Joshua said unto the people, what's the command, everyone? Two words. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know what kind of people the Lord does wonders with and among? People who are, what's the word? Sanctified. I mentioned this in our Sunday school this morning. That word shows up the first time in Genesis 2. And what God does is He sanctifies the seventh day of the week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And He's doing work on all those days, right? The seventh day, it's pushed off separate, sanctified from the others, because what did He do on the seventh? He rested. You know what God wants His people to do? Be separate from the world, but not stop there. Be separate from the world and set apart unto Him. I'm telling you, and you don't believe me, there's several people here that can attest to this. The Bible tells you this. It's better living for God than living in the world, living for the world. It's better. I bet almost everybody in here tonight, looking at this crowd, could testify of that. And what a hope we have to tell people, to give to people who have no hope in this world. If they have no hope in this world, they're on their way in the right direction, aren't they? If they're hopeless, hey, I got something for you. If you realize that this world has zero to offer, good. Now I can get you the gospel and tell you how to be saved, and you see who has something to offer that you need, Jesus Christ. All right, so God says, I want you to be set apart. When you're set apart for His work, then He begins to do, just like it says right there, do wonders among you. Just raise your hand here. Who can say in the last year something incredible that you could maybe even count as a miracle that God did for you? I got answered prayer in the last week. Real specific, I guess it's been about 2 weeks. I mean, super specific, last 2 weeks. I think that's a miracle. That's almost all of you here tonight, okay? And some of you are lying. You can testify that. All right? That's a wonder. That's a miracle. God does wonders with people who are set apart unto Him. All right? Go to verse 6 here, and we'll get on to the next point. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and they went before the people. Okay, I got to say this. This is really neat. Now, if you know about how they had to carry the ark, God gave specific instructions about how to carry that thing. All right? Brandon, get up here real quick. Hurry up. Real quick. I'll show you. We're going to pretend the pulpit is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it wouldn't be on the ground. It wouldn't be touching the ground. So you got to pretend. Well, it's not touching the ground down there. So there we go. We're Levites. We're priests. And they're the only ones that were supposed to carry the Ark. And they were not supposed to touch that Ark. There's a guy named Uzzah that did that, and he died because he didn't follow the Lord's instructions. Very clear instructions. So I'm a Levite. Brandon's a Levite. We'll pretend here. I've got a stave on each shoulder. It's going through the ark, so on my shoulder, through the ark, pass through his shoulder, same on the other side. Here we go. Now, hold on a second. What do we say? Stay there. What did that ark represent? The very dwelling place of who? God Himself. Now, get a picture here. There's all kinds of pictures of Jesus Christ in your Old Testament. Don't miss this one. I'm a Levite. Brandon's a Levite. Brandon, are you a sinner?
Yeah.
So am I. We got two sinners in between the very dwelling place of God. Are you catching it? At the cross, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, dwelling on this earth, is crucified between two sinners. Isn't that something to think, Brent? Isn't that something? See, you miss details in the Bible like that, you miss all kinds of pictures, man. Oh, come on. Get in your Bible and get the blessings there. Isn't that a blessing right there? Man, and one of those two sinners saw Jesus Christ right after He died. The other one didn't. Great Jesus Christ, divider of men, says in the New Testament. One went to hell, heaven, one went to hell. Isn't that something? All right, let's go on here. Chapter 3, verse 7. We'll get the next point here. We've got preparing, and then we've got prophesying. Look at verse 9. Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. The reason I call this prophesying is because any time God's word is spoken forth by anybody, you know what that's called in the Bible? Prophesying. So you think prophesying is always foretelling the future. And it can be. But if you speak forth God's word, you're prophesying. You know what you're doing when you prophesy? You're telling someone what God said. That happened this morning in Sunday school and church. It's happening again tonight. It can happen. It should happen at your home. It should happen throughout the week, maybe with other people. It would be really good to have this happen with other people, right? Prophesying. Okay, so what does he do in verse 9? He gathers them all together for one purpose, so they can have something to eat, right? Like a good Baptist. Is that what he does? Folks, unfortunately, that's what goes on in a lot of places. That's not what happens in verse 9. He gathers them all together so they can do the most important thing. What is it? Hear from God. All right, this is before the miracle takes place. Well, this is really good. Joshua's prepared his heart, hasn't he? He's gotten with the Lord. Now he's ready to deliver the Word of God, since he's been with the Lord already. See, now this is not just the preacher's job. If you're saved, you're responsible for delivering the Word of God. You can't deliver the Word of God unless it has been delivered to you first, and you've taken it in. We were talking in Sunday school last week about Ezekiel. God told him to take this roll and eat it. And it was words. It was words written on a page. And when you read the Bible, you know what you're doing? You are partaking of spiritual food. Why are you partaking of spiritual food? So you can give it out to somebody else. And that's what he does right here. Okay, look at verse 10. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. And he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Now, in verse 10, Joshua tells what will happen. At this point in history, when he says verse 10, has it happened yet? He is really telling the future. He's prophesying. Deuteronomy 18, if you want to take a look at it, it talks about the test of a prophet. How do you know if a prophet is real? When he foretells something to come to pass, and it comes to pass just as he said it would come to pass. I mean every detail. Joshua keeps going. Look at verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Okay, so stay with me. When he says, verses 10 through 13, it is all spoken before any of it happens. And for that to happen, for them to do what they could do in verse 10, that would take a miracle to defeat all the enemies of the land of Canaan, right? Come on, folks, have you ever seen water stand up like that? I've never seen that. None of these people. Oh, actually, there was a couple that had seen something like this. Where at? At the Red Sea, right? Remember that? See, God will sometimes do things, repeat some of the same miracles, and sometimes he does it completely different. Here it's very similar. So he tells what's going to happen, and he tells it exactly as it will happen before it happens. Are you with me? Okay, go over to the New Testament here. Go to Mark chapter 8. Keep your finger in Joshua. Joshua foretold the future, and we will find out, in fact, we already read it, that it took place exactly as he said. So is Joshua a real prophet? Yes, he is. Now, a lot of people like to discredit our Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't like it when they do that. And the reason I don't like it is because he's proved himself as a prophet that is true. Look at this. You're in the middle of Mark right here, chapter 8. So you're still a ways from the crucifixion in Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 31. And he, and that would be Jesus Christ, began to teach them, that's the disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Did it happen like that? Okay, let's test it. Did he suffer many things? Yes, he did. Was he rejected of the elders Look at the Lord. He gave three different groups of people. The elders, chief priests, and scribes. Did that happen? All three of them. Was he killed? Did he rise again after 3 days? That's a real prophet. That's not the only time he says that, by the way. There's another time he says that, and he gives, actually, if you put all the gospel accounts where he says something about his death, burial, resurrection together, he gives multiple details about his death. Who do you know that can do that? Who do you know that can give multiple details about their death? Nobody can. He's the only one that's ever done that. And even if they could give some details of their death, they could never say, I'll rise again after 3 days. He did, and he did, right? He said he would, and he did. Folks, Jesus Christ is a true prophet. He's passed the test. Amen? That means when you read your Bible, things that he said that haven't happened, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, that's just a couple, it's going to happen, right? It will surely happen, no doubt in my mind. Can he be trusted? He's passed the test, folks. Trust him. If he's gone out in the future and said what's going to happen and you can see the world lining up to be exactly as he said, you can trust him, right? If you can trust him with something way out in the future, you can trust him with a little small detail in the course of your day. Amen? All right, so go back to Joshua here. Let's get some more here, see what happens. All right, Joshua chapter 3, we'll get the rest of this here. Look at verse 14, last point here. We've got preparing and then prophesying and then we got the passing. And the passing through the Jordan River. Look at verse 14. Oh, one more thing on verse 13. This is really neat. Oh boy, here we go. Verse 13. If you read that verse, you find out that the waters did not get cut off until something very important happened. Take a look at it. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, Lord of all the earth, shall do what? What's the word? What's the word? That's a very important word. What's the word? Rest in the waters of Jordan. Okay, I'm going to pretend like I'm a priest again. This pulpit is, I'm just about 10 so inches from the pulpit here, and this pulpit is, it's the waters. And they're moving. In fact, verse 15 tells you about the banks overflowing. I mean, some of you folks have been seeing the mighty Mississippi, me being a southern boy, down in Baton Rouge, you can drive over the Mississippi River Bridge, and that thing is moving, right, Brother Joe? You folks have been over that? All right, and I think of that Jordan being something kind of like that, where if you get up close, if you were to stick a foot in there, you get taken downstream just like that. Now, what did those priests have to do before the waters are cut off and the waters separate and they're standing on a heap on both sides and the ground is dry? They had to do something. What do they have to do? Ready for this? Here we go. If you can see me on this side, what do they have to do? That's it. They had to not just wait there and say, okay, Lord, we're waiting on you. They had to, that was 100% a step of faith. Because Joshua said, when you guys step foot in that water, you got nothing else to worry about. Water's going to stand up on both sides. They had to believe Joshua. They had to trust that he was telling the truth. And when they took that step, folks, it's not until they took the step that they witness a miracle. Folks, God wants you to take a step of faith so you can see something that he does that is amazing that you could never do. But a lot of times he's waiting on you to just take the first step. Take the first step. See, this is how I oftentimes am, and I'm sure you. Sometimes you're like this too. We pray and 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 we pray for something that God we want God to do, and we sit back. Okay, Lord, when are you going to do it? And there's a little step that could be taken that God wants you to take before any of this actually happens. I'll give you a great example. You want to see people get saved? Oh Lord, help me to lead people to get saved. I want people to get saved. I want to witness people. Come on, you're going to have to take the first step and do what? Actually, open your mouth and talk to somebody. You can pray all you want, and don't get me wrong, God can save anybody just from praying, amen. But if you want to be used by God, you got to take the first step and actually open your mouth, maybe have the track in your hand, and do it. And it's amazing how whenever you've prepared your heart and taken the step of faith, God does some incredible things. It's amazing. There's a little crazy thing, if I told you, you'd think I'm crazy, so it's between me and the Lord, that I want to see happen probably down the road many years. Maybe not that many years, maybe way down the road. And just recently, God said, okay, step. Well, Lord, I got the whole list here. So you're going to do all this right here? He's like, step once and get the ball rolling and then get some more instructions and step. The ball keep rolling. And the ball has gotten rolling, and it's interesting because I took a step on this thing. The ball got rolling, and then the Lord started going, okay, here you go, here you go, here you go. Okay. Now the pressure's on. Take another step. Okay, all right. Take another step. You know, so I got this grand plan of something that I want to do for the Lord, and it may never come the way it is, but it's definitely going to be something, maybe real small, not like big like I think, but it's going to be something. And it's been really neat. This has been brewing over the last couple months, and God says, Rockwell, step! Once. Just once. Take a little step. All right, now, I'm going to prove to you that you are on the right track here. Here you go. Here you go. Okay, now, wait. Step. Lord, you just did a bunch of stuff. Do some more. Nope. Step. One more step, Rockwell. Okay, here we go. And this week, I got another step I got to take with this whole thing, and we'll see where this thing goes. But it's neat. It's so neat to see God in your life doing something that you could never think about doing. I mean, this thing, if it ever happens, I could never do it by myself. Never, ever in a million years. And that's when God gets glory. If I could do it, then He wouldn't get glory. Right? Okay, so let's go on here. Neat stuff right there. Verse 14. Came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city. What's the first letter of the alphabet? A. That is beside Zaratan. Last letter of the alphabet. Z. Now, there's a couple things going on here. I'm reminded that Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In Hebrew, it would be the Alpha and the Omega, right? Or I guess that's Greek. Greek. And here it's, and this is our English Bible, isn't that cool? A to Z. Has the Lord got all the bases covered? You know, it doesn't matter what your name starts with, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z. He wants to save you. Isn't that neat? A to Z right there. I'm reminded of a verse over in the New Testament that says, talking about the work of the prophets all in the Old Testament, it says, from the blood of righteous Abel, capital A, to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, A to Z. Talking about the prophets in the Old Testament, all the bloodshed, how they were killed for speaking the truth. A to Z. God's got all the bases covered. That's really neat. It says that those that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, even the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm. That's really good right there. It says the priest, what do they do? While the people are passing over, what are they doing? They stood firm. We were in Ephesians 6 there for a minute this morning. What's it tell you to do, I think, 3-4 times in that chapter when it talks about the armor of God? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, right? Having done all in the evil day, having done all to stand, right? And what's God need today? People to do what? Go out there in the middle of the water. I ain't moving. Taking a stand for the Lord. Right? Man, that's neat stuff. All right. So, standing right there. So let's get a little bit on this last thing about passing. And if you would go over in your New Testament. Turn on over there. I'll get you where to go here in a second. Old Testament, sorry. Psalm 77. Old Testament, Psalm 77. Let's get something about this passing over in the water. Isn't it interesting the wording there? It says that they passed over. In fact, it says in the last verse there, they passed clean over. Passed over. Where do you see that for the first time? Pass over. Where do you see that? Exodus, right? And they got out of Egyptian bondage thanks to the Passover. All right, and then God leads them away all the way to the Red Sea, and they had to pass, you could say Passover, I suppose, the Red Sea, and here, what are they doing? Passing over again. Something about that Passover. Wow, neat stuff. Psalm 77, look at this about the waters here. Psalm 77, verse 16. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were, what are they? Come on, the waters? Yes. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. Folks, do you know why the waters in Joshua stood up on a heap? That's a great cross-reference there. You know why? They obey God. They're scared of God. They fear God. The verse says right there, they were afraid of God, and what did they do? They did what He said. You know what God needs today? Some people that fear Him. Because when you fear Him, you'll do what He said. And you know what He's capable of doing. You know who He really is. Oh, that's neat stuff right there. So they end up getting across the River Jordan miraculously. Matthew 19:26, good verse any day of the week. You got to write this down and memorize it. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You need that. I need that verse every day. I don't know about you. I need that verse every day. With men, forget it. If you're going to go on your own, forget it. Impossible. With God, now the work can get done much better than you because it's miraculous work and you couldn't do miraculous work. All right, man. Well, neat stuff right there. Okay, go over to Psalm 4. And we could go on for a while here tonight, but I'll stop right there. Get some stuff to end up on. Psalm 4. Now, as I read here about Joshua, I read about a great victory on this day where they passed over the Jordan, right? Right? And the victory was just getting through a body of water that was impassable any other way. Now, the neat thing about Joshua, in the rest of the book, you know what you keep seeing? Another victory, and another victory, and another... Folks, how did Jericho fall down? Miraculously. They didn't have to pull a sword. They had to pull out a sword with Jericho. The walls fall down without them even taking the swords out. What did they do? It is the most unusual thing that they could do as an army. They marched. Sam's been military, some of the other folks, Brother Joe. You do some marching, right? Do you march to win? I mean, in a sense, but you don't. Here we are going up against the enemy. Okay, let's march. No guns, Sarge? No guns. You don't need them. March. You think you'd be crazy, right? But Lord says, march, and they march around that thing once a day for 6 days. Seventh day, they go seven times. Walls fall down. Miraculous. Folks, all through the book of Joshua, it's one miracle after another. It's God's work. When He works, He gets glory. When man works, man gets glory. When man gets glory, God doesn't get glory. You steal it. Right? God wants to be glorified. So it's not like God wants to do just one little thing in your life and save you. He's got more for you that requires you to do just like those priests, what they have to do. Step. And after that, another step. And then He might lead you a few steps and then say, stop. And stand there a while. And just stand firm on My word. Oh yeah, and then those priests didn't stay in the water, did they? Or in the dry ground, did they? Now they got to make their journey across. So there's a time to step, and there's a time to stand, right? Know when to do both. Psalms, I don't have the verse written down, but it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Who do you want ordering your steps? You know, you're in the military, you got a commanding officer ordering your steps, right? Your commanding officer, read the book of Joshua, there's a guy that shows up. He's the captain of the Lord's host in Joshua. Follow him. That's Jesus Christ. He's the one to follow. The captain. Military leader. Oh yeah. Psalm 4. Look at this. Good place to end here tonight. Stand in awe and sin not. Folks, when's the last time you did that? When's the last time you just sat down and thought about what God has done for you in the last week, month, year, 10 years? If you did, and God has been at work in your life, you will go, wow. We use the word, or at least I do. I love the word. That's awesome what God did. What's the word right there? Stand in awe. When was the last time you did that? Folks, God wants to do something with this little church. This little church and this little crazy little place we live, Titusville. I've noticed being here for a while, it's a little crazy place. Not another place like it. God wants to do something in this little place. With this little church. With these people. With this book. And it requires us to step by faith. Do what He wants you to do. And then again, step. You know, what's happened, I've noticed I've been in Baptist churches all my life, and I've noticed that people get to a certain place, and it may or may not have to do with age, because I've seen it almost all ages, from the 20s and 30s and all the way up. People get to a place in their life where they've seen God do all kinds of things, and they stop. And they just kind of coast the rest of the way, for many years, if not the rest of their life. And if you ask them what God has done, they can say, oh man, 20 years ago, brother so-and-so and me were down there on that street. Man, we three or four kids got saved. They can tell you about something happened 20 years ago. What about today? What about the last week? That's Christian living. Is God doing something all the time? It may not be every single day. I believe it is every day. If you really counted your blessings, it'd be every day. It will be every day. Strike that from the record. It's every day. If you really sit back and look at what He does for little things every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for our car out there has got 267,000 miles on it. Praise the Lord. Maybe 47, 240. It's over 240. Praise the Lord. That's a miracle. Okay. How about this one? Hot water came out of the faucet. Jonathan? Jonathan's going with cold water right now. He's got no hot water. He's counting his blessings for when he had hot water to be counting when he gets it back, right? He's only got cold water at the house. Water comes out of your faucet when you turn it on. That's a miracle. That's a modern day miracle. Thank you, Lord. Right? You flush the toilet. Thank you, Lord. Doesn't stay there. I mean, you think that's silly. That's little things. Thank you, Lord. The little miracles, man. Man, thank God for those little things. When you start counting those blessings, you'll see God everywhere doing all kinds of neat stuff in your life. All right? So three things to do here. I'll leave you with three things to do. Number one, abide in Christ. John 15, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in the vine. And if you go on later in that chapter, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Abide in Christ, number one. You want to see God do something? Abide in Christ every moment of every day. Number two, by faith, act upon what God tells you to do every day. Abide, act. And number three, I just read it. Stand in awe of what you see God do. All right, let's bow our heads here tonight. And Lord, we'll ask the Lord to bless the invitation time, and I just want to pray that you respond the way God wants you to here tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the words. They are just so encouraging, seeing what you have done and will do for us. And I just pray you raise up some people from the church here to do something great for you, so you are glorified, not any of us. All the ideas and all the different means of going about your business, that we would give you the credit for giving us the ideas, not take them for ourselves. Lord, we just pray for your people here tonight to take steps tonight, tomorrow, and every day this week of faith. And Lord, I pray that when we gather next Sunday and we have testimony time, that a large number here can testify of you doing something miraculous during this week ahead, which would be past when we come to the end of it. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.